Hello and welcome to the Nerd Alternative, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today you're joined by me, Ram.
Me, Hassan.
And we're missing someone. Levi's not here this week, but it's fine because we don't need him anyway. I'm joking. But anyway, so this episode, we shall be talking about the film Nope. So we'll be talking about Nope. But before that, as usual, we shall get into some news, which I'm gonna let Hassan take it away because, yeah,
Right.
let's mix it up.
But yeah, I'm now feeling defensive. I'm like, Levi, save me.
He's not here.
So this week has been kind of cool for like Netflix and anthologies. Guillermo del Toro announced the Cabinet of Curiosities, which is going to be dropping in the Halloween season in October, which is an anthology of horror shorts, and I watched about a minute of the trailer and I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, it looks cool, but like my scare threshold is very low.
It's weird because I feel like he gives me like I don't think most of the films, well, actually, I feel like I've only really watched like Hellboy and The
Pan's
Shape of
Labyrinth.
Water. Wait, what did you say?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have watched Pan's Labyrinth, but none of those give me like scary. They give me like a little bit chilling, maybe. So I don't know, it's gonna be interesting. This feels a bit more horrific. So I'm intrigued. I'll probably check it out, to be fair. Yeah.
Is like a definite body horror like element to it. Like, remember the guy in Pan's Labyrinth with the eye hands? I'm getting like that
I know.
feel.
Yeah, I think it's more of that like uncomfortable. This is a natural kind of how I feel when I see gibbons because their arms are a bit too long, and I don't like that. But it's like you know that like human kind of like that doesn't look right
Uncanny
type.
Valley, I think, is the term.
Not even Uncanny Valley though. Like I feel like it's more like I. Taking like flashbacks of when we were cavemen and that shit looks like it's gonna attack us. That kind of, I don't know what that is, what that, if there's a word for it, but I feel like it's that. But I don't know, that's just me.
Moving on to like another very, very cool anthology, one that we do love here on the Nerd Alternative. Love, Death and Robots season 4 has been confirmed.
Yep, so that means Manny, you've got to be on this next episode in the year, whenever the hell it comes out. But yeah, that's exciting. I feel like that's a pretty much easy yes for them to say because it's like, I don't know, each season they're always bringing something more and like taking more. I don't know whether it's to risks is the right word to call it exactly, but like, you know, doing more interesting things with animation and people are reacting well to it. So, you know.
They really are like kind of cornering the market on like these very artistic kind of anthology series, and I'm super here for it because it's such a interesting and fascinating way to do storytelling, especially in the animation like space. It's so cool, and like the last season won like a ton of awards. Like we know how you feel about Jabaro, but like won a ton of
Sorry. For
awards.
anyone who didn't, I mean, you obviously didn't see it. I just rolled my eyes. I think I'm getting like, I really want to do an episode one of these days about like style over substance because that's what that film felt like to me. And I think I'm at a stage where like, I think before I used to be like, oh, like if it looks cool, but it's not that great, like at least it looks cool. But now I don't accept that anymore. I'm just like, no, you got to marry the two. Like, I don't like, especially we're not going to praise something that just looks cool. Without acknowledging the fact that the story isn't great and it's just being carried on looks alone. But, you know, that's my opinion. Other people may feel differently, clearly. They're wrong. So that's fine.
Wow. I would love to do that episode because there's a very specific kind of film where I think style over substance makes it more palatable. And I think there's like a very interesting like a bell curve there, like where
Yeah.
style to substance kind of like meets perfectly.
I mean, I have Sucker Punch is like the one that always comes to mind where I actually didn't mind that movie. I'm not gonna lie, but I don't think I because I was like, yeah, I like the style of it. And I think that's probably the last movie that I've ever felt that way about. Like everything else now, I'm like, And I think I only felt that way because it was anyway, we'll get into that when we do that episode. But
Look forward to it.
Let us get into the episode. So Nope just came out in the UK on the 12th of August. Surprisingly, it was released in the US before that, which I don't like because I like having the UK privilege of watching movies first. But that's neither here nor there. It is the Jordan Peele's third outing, and was written, directed, and produced by him under Monkey Paw Productions, which is his production company. The film was actually announced in November 2020 after Universal Pictures had signed a 5-year exclusive production partnership with Monkey Paw Productions, which was back in 2019. The film stars Daniel Kaluuya, who has already collaborated with Jordan Peele before on Get Out, as well as Kiki Palmer, the love of my life, and the love of many people's lives,
Guilty.
as well as Steven Yeun, Michael Wincott, and Brandon Perea, sorry about that if I've pronounced his name wrong. So far the film has grossed $114 million, with mostly a positive reception. And it's currently standing at 82% for a critic score at, it's currently standing at 82%, with a critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and 68% audience score. And I was actually quite curious because I think with Jordan Peele, since he's such a new kind of director, every piece of work that he does, you just naturally compare it to the last one. So I looked at all the other Rotten Tomatoes scores, and I was quite surprised actually. Well, I wasn't surprised about Get Out, which is the most critically acclaimed and most enjoyed by audiences. So it's still at 98% from critics' perspective, and then 86% from an audience perspective, which kind of surprised me. I thought it would be more like 90% or like 95%, a bit closer, but audiences are audiences. And what surprised me was Us, which stands at 93% on a critic score and 60% audience score. So Nope is kind of standing somewhere in the middle, in terms of like critics reception, but so I'm curious to see whether that will like kind of change over time. But in terms of audience scores, it's kind of the second most enjoyed out of all the Jordan Peele films that we have so far. When Peele wrote the film, and we'll get into this when we actually talk about the film, but he wrote it during the pandemic, which was when the movie was announced and at the time was an untitled project. And he kind of said that he was worried about the future of cinema, as a lot of us were, and wanted to create a film about spectacle that was also a spectacle, to kind of get people wanting to come to the cinema and kind of getting that in the cinema experience. Which reminds me a lot of like how Tenet was kind of at the time seemed to be the thing that was like going to be the, I don't know, the sign of whether cinema was going to make it or not. And it was a spectacle. And I think a lot of the, like, one of the reasons that I went to see it, I guess, obviously, Christopher Nolan is a very well-received director. So there was that reason that people went to see it. But also, it was just like people going backwards. Like, all of the technical kind of spectacle was also something that people went to go see. And I think that's quite, it brings up quite an interesting kind of conversation about, what need we have for cinema these days, especially when everything is so readily available. Like even today I was talking about, illegally streaming things and how that doesn't really even feel that relevant anymore now that we have so many streaming services that it's like you don't really need to illegally stream anything, even if you've just got like Disney Plus and Netflix. And I think a lot of people, especially because of the pandemic, are kind of like, what is the reason to go to the cinema. And even myself, who used to be like a very regular cinema goer, sometimes there's films that I'm like, well, I could just wait for that to be on TV or like on a streaming service. So I think, sorry, that's a bit of a tangent, but I think that's a very interesting kind of observation from Jordan Peele and kind of like motivation in terms of like the things that fed this film. And last little lowdown about the film was that there were a lot of influences from big blockbusters like Jurassic Park and Jaws and all those kind of like alien like prey predator type films. But one of the key inspiration was Neon Genesis Neon Genesis Evangelion was a key inspiration for the film's premise and also some of the production aspects of the film. So I think it's quite cool to it's always interesting to find out what is inspiring creatives. And I love that stuff because it makes I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you watched anime or like that kind of thing always excites me. But yeah, I guess we're gonna get into the film. I'm just gonna give a quick summary because I feel like we're always really bad at doing that.
Wait, us go on tangents and
I
forget what we're doing?
mean, yeah, I mean, who knows?
No.
Yeah, we always get like, so, I feel like we just get so amped up or like excited to have the conversation that we actually forget to like premise the like give some kind of like summary of the film. And I'm always like, I feel like I'm the one who usually points that out because I'm like, if someone's listening to this and they have no idea, I mean, I'd hope that you'd have some interest in like what we're about to talk about or some kind of like point of reference. But Nope follows two siblings played by Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer, who own a ranch, a horse ranch, which is tied into Hollywood. So they provide a lot of horses that you see in like Westerns or films. And after a loss in their family, they're kind of dealing with like what they're going to do with the ranch, and then hijinks ensue. I don't really want to talk about the movie so much because I think a lot of it was the cast and also Jordan Peele himself were very protective about the plot, and there was a lot of mystery. So as much as I just went on a rant about how we don't do premises, I don't think it's like productive to really get into the story too much until you get into the spoilers, because otherwise it kind of ruins the mystery. And I know some people really like that. So
So what you're saying is nope.
yeah, I'm saying nope. Nope. Yeah, so let's get into some non-spoiler feelings. What were your kind of, I guess this is just like our general vibe of the film and general likes and dislikes without getting into things. So if you haven't watched the movie and you just want to get a tone check, this you can listen to this part.
I will loudly and comfortably say there's going to be spoilers with the spoilers, don't worry.
Yeah.
There's this movie has like some of the best and like kind of most insidious tension building for a movie that it's not horror, like that's not really a spoiler. It really subverts your expectations into what kind of film it's going to be and how the storytelling really is going to work because of these very clever like flits between past and present. It's as a storytelling mechanic, like how they use to build tension and kind of creeping dread, it's chef kiss. It's so good. The inter-character kind of play and the chemistry between the cast as well was one of the highlights for me. Like everyone in this I liked, even if I didn't think they were good people. I was like, you're very funny and I want to see you on the screen more. Like every single person who like popped up, it was incredibly enjoyable, and seeing how they interacted with each other was so good. Like I'll get into spoilers. There's like the comedy and the tone and how it flits between serious and comedic is phenomenal.
Yeah, I really liked it. Pretty much echo a lot of the things that you've already said, Hassan. I thought that it also explored kind of I mean, everyone knows that it's about there's some space stuff, there's some alien hijinks going on, and I think that it explored that in a really interesting way, which I mean, I've seen a lot in like sci-fi books, but haven't really seen explored as much in on like TV or in film. So it was, I hope that inspires like a lot more interesting, less kind of stereotypical sci-fi stories. And I think Jordan Peele's, I'm kind of new to, I think Get Out, a lot of people love to compare his work to think, I mean, naturally you will compare to Get Out. And I think that Get Out was very much, first of all, you could tell that he spent a really long time thinking about that film. And I think that's why it feels very, very like slick and almost quite like perfect. And I think that the rest of his films have kind of been exploring ideas as opposed to coming with a fully presented idea. And in that way, they're kind of there to make you think about certain like concepts that are kind of a bit too large to be on screen and like to explore every little bit. And I'm really enjoying that. And I think also just like what he did with us in terms of like just having a black family in this horror is kind of similar to what he's doing in Nope, of, as well, of having a black family in an extraterrestrial setting without, I mean, obviously race naturally plays into it, but not in the same hyper-focused way that it was in Get Out. It's kind of like similar in Us where they are black and there are some like some connotations or like little things that come with that. But in this film, it's a bit more subtle, and I kind of like that direction that he's going in because I think it's just like normalizing again black people just being in things and existing in a way that's not erasing their identity, but it's also kind of not exactly fixated on just that, which I think is the beauty of the stuff. And yeah, really liked the music in it. The score was great. The visuals were really cool. Like you said, every part of the cast and all of the characters were super cool and they all did something. I think there was one character that I wasn't super keen on, but they're like a very minor character. We can get into that later, but I think yeah, that like, and it's again a testament to Jordan Peele, I guess, and how he obviously all the actors are like stellar actors anyway, but I think that the level of kind of like comfort that he must provide on set or like in his stories that make it feel the characters feel so believable and so natural, and make you root for them so easily without like much effort, is amazing. And it definitely was a spec. Yeah, I liked it a lot more than I liked Us. So
Yeah,
in
same,
my,
same.
I guess we can get into like a ranking of all his films so far since it's kind of not avoidable. But I think it for me it hit that like perfect balance of what I did like about Us, but also what I really liked about what I preferred about Get Out. And I think it just kind of was in the middle where it was throwing us these concepts, but at the same time the story was a lot more tied together. But yeah, I feel like that's enough on general feelings. We're now going to get into spoilers. So you have been warned.
Spoilers,
Please
spoilers,
leave,
spoilers.
unless you don't care, in which case, whatever. Yeah.
The
So what you say?
like talking about like the anime inspirations that it was kind of wearing on his sleeve, there's Kiki Palmer does the slide from Akira.
Yeah.
And I was like,
But I
in
feel
this
like with
cinema?
that, I was like, I feel like everyone does that. So
Oh
it kind
yeah, of
of
course.
almost didn't a proper anime reference because I'm like, well, everyone's been doing that for a really long time.
I think there's like a supercut of someone who's like put all the
All
Akira
of them
slides all
together.
together, and it's a very cool video. But like, if you're a director and you put Akira into your work, I'm in. It's just, it's like, I know my biases and I know what I like, and I like Akira, so like, I'm in.
Sold. You're sold. That's all it takes.
The
That will be your like redeeming quality of any bad movie. As long as they just throw it in there, you're like,
I'm like, but
this
they
was
slipped
good.
though.
Yeah.
This film is maybe one of my favorite creature flicks outside of the really bad, awful, old school kind of Godzilla versus Mothra sort of creature flicks. There's something very, because like I go on about it. I don't like horror, but like I like tension and I like fascinating creatures. And Benicio del Toro is like amazing at treading that line. Like we talked about Pan's Labyrinth a bit, but like Pan's Labyrinth is full of these fascinating and awful creatures, and this had that in spades with this ship, this UFO, this monster that you don't really know what's going on, and you start to get to grips that it's alive and it's thinking and it's hunting and it's, oh, I was
Is
like,
it thinking though?
yeah, because like any predator thinks, like.
It's again reminding me of that, like I said it when we walked out, but of that Junji Ito manga about the like planet that is eating people and it's aware that it's being observed. But I think what is really interesting about that is like is I say is it thinking at not more so in the like human
Sentience
sense
or
of like yeah of like it's eating these people but does it know what it's doing? Is it like is it aware that it is causing harm? It is just doing it's just reacting, it's just eating. There is no obviously there's like the because I think what's so interesting about sorry, this might throw a lot of people, but there's a scene in the movie with the monkey Gordy.
Oh my God.
And he goes it's kind of inspired well we think it's inspired by like the true story of a pet that I've forgotten what his name a pet monkey which two words you should not put together who's kept by this woman and one day he you know he's been with his family for pretty much his whole life but one day he kind of just goes on a rampage and like rips this woman's face off, and that's kind of the thing that sets the scene in Nope, of Gordy, who is a monkey that plays the character Gordy in a sitcom, and he some balloons pop and he just kind of flips and basically kills everyone on set bar Steven Yeun's character, and I think the cool so there's a whole running theme of like watching and looking at things in their eyes and like so we have that with a horse Lucky which is one of the horses that that the family look after who doesn't like to be looked in the eye the alien entity also doesn't like to be looked in the eye and that's what makes it attack people and I think that's such a like humans you know we say all this stuff about like eyes are the window to the soul and we're always watching and observing and even like with like social media and whatever we're always like consuming and so it does feel very alien to have something that where it's like you can't look it in the eye and like looking it in the eye means death and how looking things in the eye means something completely different to another creature that isn't human I kind of went on a tangent with this point but I think it's just like that I think looking something in the because I have this thing where like sometimes I'm scared of animals because this sounds really weird but like I find the idea that they're alive really weird if that makes sense not in a sense of like but that there's like something behind the eyes that I can't process because they're
It's alien
alive
to you, but
yeah but they're not
yeah.
alive in the way that I know so that's what I meant by like is it thinking though? Like, I think that's what the scary thing is. Like, you look up, you don't even recognize that thing as an eye. And it's like, just because OJ, who Daniel plays, has been around animals his whole life, that's what makes him aware of that whole thing. But it's like, as a normal person, I would not look up at that and recognize that as an eye. So it's like, that is terrifying that, like, you are looking up at this thing and it, like, there is no connection between you and it because you can't even fathom that what you're looking at is an eye and it's kind of like does that even fathom that I am it fathoms that I am looking at it but does it even understand that I there is like things behind my eyes beyond me just being meat and food so I think that's like one of the things that like really scared me about the creature and yeah
There's the Gordy scenes were some of my favorite scenes, especially because of this, like, because like I love animals and like I've always been fascinated by animals, but like the thing that people kind of don't give credit and credence to a lot of the time when they see animals on screen is how dangerous they can actually be.
Yeah.
And like the Jordan Peele, like he pulls from a few things in like kind of real life to mirror in this, especially with spectacle and with animals and the exploitation of them. And It's like it's so fascinating to see kind of like how that kind of translates to the people who then live the aftermath, especially like with Steven Yeun's character in this, and like kind of how he's clearly like got PTSD, but he's like still chasing the spotlight. He still wants the spectacle, and he still craves that attention. And like him confronting this creature and having this moment almost mirroring the scene with Gordy. Ah, oh, the fist bump that
That
made
was
my heart hurt.
terrifying. Yeah,
I was
that
like,
was
oh my God.
terrifying.
I the this point is getting away from me, but like it's like the way that like I don't know if he presents these like these incredible situations and like how humans we kind of forget that we aren't apex predators, if that makes sense,
Yeah.
and how like how we kind of
I
we
mean,
see
we
ourselves
are,
as
but
a
we're
lot
not.
bigger and stronger
Yeah.
than we actually are. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah, sometimes you're in danger, and this is definitely a time you're in danger that like
Yeah.
really hits home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what I thought was really cool about that, and like I think that's something they explored in like Steven Yeun's character of like he has been through this traumatic event which he has like survived. And of course there's like the PTSD element of it, but there's also him realizing that there's like a story there of like, for example, that couple who get pay him 50K to like basically stay in a room that is like a memorabilia room of like a very traumatic event that he's been through. And then him thinking that he can tame the alien. And I think it just like, to your point, kind of with humans forgetting our place, essentially. It's just like, I think sometimes we're a bit arrogant and we think that we can like control things that shouldn't be controlled, or we don't actually know how to control. And I think it's even like down to just like when we humanize animals, so people who keep monkeys as pets, where we just think that we're, because we've now humanized this thing, it's not gonna act like an animal, or like because we've like made some kind of logic in our brain, like, oh, this thing is like human and I treat it like this, therefore it is not what it is. And I think that was what was cool about Steven's character, is that I don't know whether that like fed into it of him surviving Gordy, and then thinking that maybe that has given him a superpower in order to like survive other things, and that's why he thinks that he can tame this alien. But I think like there was a bit of like arrogance there, but I think it was nice. Like he wasn't a villain, but he was like in
No.
other movies he would kind of
He'd be the
fall.
antagonist.
Yeah, he would be that villain character, and I think that's what was so interesting about like having flashbacks of his character. Because when we first kind of had the flashbacks of him in the Gordy show, I kind of was like, where are we going with this? This is weird. Like, we never usually get a flashback of this like essentially like side character. And I think it was like really refreshing to have someone who, I guess in a way, he was kind of an antagonist, because you know he's buying up the farm probably for a lot less money than it's probably worth. He's, you know, bought a lot of the horses that OJ's had no choice but to sell, and sacrifice them to this alien creature. But it's not villainous in the way of like, ha-ha, capitalism, and I'm gonna like it. There is like another layer to it, which I think is like super interesting, of like he is doing this for the money, but there is also like a sense of like he is doing this because maybe, you know, as a child actor, he didn't feel like he's like reached his peak, and he's just looking for the next thing that's going to make him relevant. And again, and there was just a lot of layers to his character, even though we didn't actually spend a lot of time with him. And then that just kind of made his whole thought process, and his whole thing with the alien just that bit more interesting than him just being kind of like this villain who's out to make a quick buck. So I really enjoyed that. He's a very thoughtful character, even though like I was really shocked that he died. I didn't think he was gonna get sucked up. But I was like, oh, well, yeah.
The scene when he comes to the fence looking for the horse.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I keep doing that. Thumbs up. Okay. Should I do
Hey,
it too?
it's
Yeah.
like, shall I come over? N
No.
no.
That whole scene was great. I think, yeah, the comedy as well, it was like such a highlight because it I love that Jordan Peele is able to do so many different types of comedy. And what I've really enjoyed about his, like, obviously we have Key and Peele, which is like comedy that's kind of a bit more on the scale of like, I mean, different sketches are like, you know, different, but it's a lot more exaggerated. It is a comedy show, like that
It's
is the
like
focus.
parodies and absurdism.
Yeah. But I love how subtle the comedy in all his films are, but especially in this one, it was just like it really hit the right tone. And it was like sometimes you were like horrified, and then sometimes you were laughing, even though something really horrific was happening.
The
Like for
moment the horse
example,
barn is the perfect example of that.
the
The horse barn. Do you know where he's the kids with the
oh
alien
yeah
outfits?
yeah that was hilarious.
That was the perfect marriage of tension and comedy. Like, that was so sublime.
That was great.
Like, it was like, I was kind of worried because of the way that the trailer kind of used the word nope. I was like, oh, they're just going to keep saying nope the whole movie. But
They did say nope a lot, but it
yeah,
didn't
but it was like
feel, it wasn't
sparingly used, and it was
exhausting.
used in the right context. And like, the way, like, just like when the music cut out and like he started to see the movement, and he was like,
Nope.
nope. It's just a
I'm
perfect line.
Levi's not here, but he did watch the film with us, and one of his critiques was that he did feel like he wished that they would have pushed on the nope type thing, because obviously there's like that commentary that black people always have of like, oh, like half the situations that white horror movie protagonists get into, like the black person would never get into. Well, we always have this critique of like, ah, why does the black person always die? Because we wouldn't even be in that situation in the first place. But I
You
think
get me.
one of the things that Levi was saying, like, feels like he wished that they kind of pushed it a bit further, because for example, in that scene where OJ is like nope, and he starts like backing out of there, but then he takes his camera out and starts recording. So it's like we kind of wish that we had that. Well, he kind of wishes that the in the scene he literally had just run out. Like, and I think it would have been nice to have like a moment like that. But
I like how it
minus
played out
the
as well.
yeah. Especially when he punched the alien. That was a great moment.
It's like such a human reaction to like
Yeah.
something so insane.
Well, not my human reaction, because unfortunately I am a freezer. It's like the
Like,
worst thing. Like, I'm not even like, why couldn't I just be like a flight person?
like
I'm not a fight or a flight. I just freeze. Like, I hate it. I need to work on that.
the headlights sort of thing.
Yeah, literally, that is me. I'm just like, when I'm so I'm terrified of slugs, but every time I see a slug, I don't run away, or I just like freeze and I just curl up. So
But like
that's,
slugs can't even chase you.
yeah, but
Like,
oh, they terrify me. They terrify me.
fair. I can't mock you.
I wanted to talk about the design of the alien, which I kind of like hinted at of that was like one of the things that I really enjoyed about the film, was that it was one of the first times that we see something that is alien, that actually looks alien and doesn't look remotely humanoid. And kind of going back to that thing that I said of like not being able to recognize, like, you know, the first time they see it, they think it's a ship, but it's kind of a bit odd. And like that kind of process of like slowly figuring out that actually this is an animal, and even though it is an animal, still not being able to really recognize it as an animal, I was still like, okay, I know it eats and I know it ejects, but like there's no characteristics apart from that that make me look at this thing and be like, you know, like what I was saying earlier about the whole eye thing. And I just thought that was really interesting. I like aliens that are just kind of hurt my brain a bit, because I'm like, what the hell is this? And also I just like that it one of my biggest things that I hate is when people are like, oh, aliens wouldn't be able to do this, or aliens wouldn't be able to do that. And I was like, well, we don't know what aliens can do, because we could probably go to another planet and look at something and have no idea it was an alien, because like in our heads, like it's just not, I don't think we could fathom what aliens actually look like.
Yeah,
So
of
that's interesting.
course. Because like they're gonna have to have like their evolution based on their surroundings. So like we
Yeah.
don't understand what their surroundings could be.
Exactly. I
Like
just
the alien design, like kind of as amorphous and insane and kind of as globular as it got and kind of like as convoluted as it like ended up being, there was like a lot of like allegories to actual animals, like you know, the displays of dominance and like kind of like
Yeah.
how birds will like flare their feathers and kind of
Yeah.
like get big and stuff. And the way it kind of moved like a jellyfish, like after it like opened up and
Yeah.
started to float around, it like it became very, very cool and very jellyfishy, and it was creepy and as alien as like deep sea animals
Yeah.
can be. And
Yeah,
I
I think
was
that's what it also reminds.
fascinated.
Yeah, I was like, because I am terrified of anything in the water. And then yeah, so I really liked that element of it. I also wanted to talk about, I think one of the strong themes throughout the film was kind of as well as spectacle, but also the idea of like legacy and ownership, which is something that comes up quite a few times of the main motivation for the characters in the film are to be able to capture this alien, to be able to be like, yeah, we were the ones who took this picture, and to be able to kind of capitalize on that moment, especially when you have like the context of the family who that image that probably everyone has seen in the trailers already, or just you've probably just seen it in real life, of a man riding a horse, which is like one of the first bits of film. Essentially was a black jockey, and that is actually based on a true story, though we don't know the name of the black jockey. But in the film, that is their great 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 grandfather. And you know, they've never gotten any, that is their like kind of not claim to fame, but I guess you know that is part of their heritage, and it's just kind of swept under the carpet, which is something that happens in Black history a lot, where we invent or create or innovate a lot of things and aren't given credit for it. Especially when you even things like, you know, the gynecology is all based on the bodies of Black slave women. And there are all these contributions to history that Black people have made, big and small, that are just not acknowledged. So I really, even though it felt a bit weird because it was like, well, when you get out of that situation and like, why are you trying to capitalize on this moment? But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, I think Black people in general, the reason that, you know, we have hashtags like Black excellence, no matter how much you like or dislike that phrase, there's a reason that it exists. And I think it was like that need to be able to own something and to be able to like have a proper concrete claim that no one else can deny was very strong throughout the film. And also a very interesting thing because for the character of OJ, because kind of at the beginning of the film, he's quite reserved and it just kind of feels like he just cares about these horses. He's not like his sister M, who, you know, is like, oh, I'm a writer, I ride motorcycles, da, 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 and she's got all these things and she's trying to find her place in the world, whereas OJ feels very stable. And it's weird that this
That's
is
a
the
good pun.
thing. Yeah. Oh my God, that
Well
was a
played.
good
Well
pun. Thank
played.
you. I was that
Ride
wasn't even
with
intentional. Thank you.
a
That was not intentional, but
I
you
will cry to the world about this
know.
until I am horse.
Oh my God, that was a good one. That was very natural. I like that. 8 out of 10. But yeah, he's quite a, you know, reserved character. And it's nice to see that this was the thing that, not nice to see, but it was interesting to see how like this was the thing that kind of became like he was willing to put himself in danger to make sure that he gets this picture and to kind of secure their legacy, I guess, in the same way that their father was trying to carry on the ranch. And maybe OJ and M aren't capable of doing that, but they can start a new legacy with this whole alien picture. So it's very satisfying when she finally got a picture of it.
That was that whole last sequence, because that was a weird Chekhov's gun, like to set up the
Yeah.
movie, because like there's a lot of times in movies where they will very clearly go, huh,
We're gonna
this is
use
a
this
thing.
later.
And it's like it in this rickety like old west amusement park, there's this like camera that's like set up in an old well that's like staring up at the sky that you're meant to like look over the well in your hole. Oh, there's gold in them hills, kind of
Yeah,
like
and it's like a reference to the film that Steven Yeun is, because the title, like the poster, is them looking into the well. So I thought that was really neat because I was like, oh, it actually ties into you like some, yeah. But anyway, carry on,
Say
sorry.
well,
Yeah, very well.
well.
Done well. Anyways, yeah.
Like it was just like until like because they like said it so specifically, like this is going to be a thing, because they had a character stop and go, huh, oh, like I was like, this has to pay off some way. And then it did, and it produced these like very vivid and very like tangible pictures that were like proof in a way that you could hold,
Yeah.
which in like the UFO world is like something that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
Like that the Jordan Peele like really kind of like took a lot of pop culture and conspiracy theory and like UFO kind of like craze and writ it in a very human way, because like a lot of the way it's kind of presented in like mainstream media is these are crazy people and look at their crazy obsession, but he presented it as like these are just people who are like super passionate and they want to believe in something's out there, and like they could be anyone, they could be you, your mates could be anyone, and
You
I was
too
like
can
really
support
nice.
them. Yeah.
And like because it's like that old school thing, but like no, it's like remember back in the day you'd see a nerd in something and he'd be like, I've got glasses, nerd, like that thing. And it's just like, yeah, let people have their fun thing that they like doing. And he presented it in a way that was like cool without being, I'm calling the police.
Yeah. I really liked this, but also the desperation. Who knew it could be so tense to try and capture a picture? Like, yeah, I thought that was really cool of how like scrambling with the coins and putting it in, and like, but then having that. Though it did worry me when she walked away, because I was like, what if the police grab it and they say that they took the picture? I was like, who grabbed the picture? Like, it was stressing me out a lot. But yeah, that whole thing was neat, as they say. I also really enjoyed the kind of references towards like Hollywood, and again it keeps coming back to spectacle, but even there's like a character who's like from the TMZ with the motorbike guy with like a mirrored what the hell do
A
they call it?
visor
Helmet.
helmet.
Yeah, a mirrored helmet. I forgot the word for helmet, guys. Whoops. And his desperation for being able to like capture this on very little knowledge, because it was like, how did he know any of this stuff? Or like, well, he was just poking and asking a lot of the right questions, and his scenes were actually very funny. I know he fell off his bike, but it was hilarious. I don't care.
He
And him
came to some
screaming
arm.
as he, oh my God. And him screaming as he got eaten up was funny. But yeah, I just kind of liked a lot of the references to like Hollywood and like how we're so quick to take things and then just throw them away. Even with like OJ, of like as soon as the horse kicked the woman, despite the fact that he gave a lot of like health and safety briefing of like, please don't look the horse in the eye, and they just had no kind of care. And as soon as it didn't work to their standards, they just kicked him out and decided to use a CGI horse, which was like, well, why didn't you just listen to the knowledge that the horse guy was giving you, and then maybe we could have had a real horse in it? And maybe that's why everything is actually CGI, because people are lazy. But anyway,
I mean, like in fairness, like Gordy is a prime
I
example.
mean,
Like you,
yes, Gordy is a prime example.
a primate example.
Yeah.
I'm on fire today. There's like working with animals is dangerous, right? And
Yeah.
like I think that is like a very kind of hammered home in a not bad way. Part of this movie that like. You gotta respect like animals if you're like working with them. And horses are scary. Like if you're like a city person and you don't really hang around horses are very
Horses are
big.
scary.
Like,
Yeah,
I'm a
they
city
are very
person. I've
big.
been around
Yeah,
some
but then
horses.
that's why I would listen to the horse handler.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
would
Like
not be like, I don't care what the horse handler says. I'd be like, oh, whatever you say, mate, I'm gonna do it. But yeah, I guess it was just like, and even the fact that those characters felt like, the fact that he could no longer do the like horse in Hollywood stuff, meant that like his whole livelihood was gone, even though his family had been doing this for generations. And it's that kind of like just kind of attitude, I think was like an interesting comment, even if it wasn't like a massive part of film. Well, actually, I guess even like Steven Yeun of like it's clear that after that his career probably dipped, and he's still kind of like relying on all these like little things from his past, like the films. Like I'm not quite sure who is actually going out there to visit a theme park by an ex-child actor, but just holding on to
Past glories.
I just thought that was, I'd have much more to say on that. I just thought it was interesting. I thought it was neat. I feel like we have sung the praises of this film a lot. So I do want to get into things that we didn't like, if any. But also kind of tie it in with, Logan Paul, who is not a film critic, sorry, I just had to say that because he's not. So take this with a pinch of salt. I mean, take it with a lot of salt. But he, everyone's entitled to their own opinions or whatever. And we are sitting here reviewing stuff, and we are also not film critics. So, I feel like we are. We've got some skin in the game. But he made a thread of tweets talking about Nope and how he didn't really enjoy the film. He didn't really think that it made a lot of sense. He raised a lot of points. Well, not raised a lot of points, but he
He
brought
said
up a lot of,
things.
he said things about some of the things in the film just being there for the sake of mystery, or just for the sake of saying something but not actually meaning anything. And well, I'm gonna bring up some of the points that he made. He also said that it was very slow and confusing and stretched at times. He thought characters like the cinematographer was cryptic for no other reason than to be cryptic. He thought that the man on the motorcycle was also the same kind of just randomly in there, which is a point that I can understand, to be fair, because I did feel like he was very, to me, he upset the tone of the film a little bit, but I don't think it was such a like a massive thing that I was bothered by it. I liked the points, like he didn't make me think about something. I don't know what it was about him that I didn't quite gel with.
So with the I'm gonna disagree like with 99% of what Logan Paul said, but like this is the only thing, because like the man in the motorcycle is the most this is a movie moment in the whole movie, because they said this is all going swimmingly. They're figuring out the monster. We still have the last act of the film to finish. We have to introduce like a antagonist or someone to throw a wrinkle in the plan. And like it felt very artificed, and not very organic in how the story got to this point. If they had like set him up in a way that like he was sniffing around for aliens in the area or had come before to talk to Steven Yeun's character, that would have made way more sense, and it would have like felt more organic
Less
in how that
jarring.
was set up. But because he just turned up the moment things were starting to go right, it was a little bit jarring. That's my only gripe with the movie. Like that's
Yeah, I agree. I think when I referred to that character earlier, that I was like, I don't know about that person. That was what it was, because it did feel very, it was quite jarring. It's weird because I'm not actually quite sure. Like, I know he's Logan Paul, but I don't actually know why it's gotten so much traction, because everybody has opinions about everything. So it's kind of just weird that this took off so much, in a weird way. Maybe because he made a whole thread about it. I don't know. It was very random. Obviously, everyone's. Sorry, go.
It's mostly because like he's known for being inflammatory.
But I don't
He's
even think the things that he said were that inflammatory. It's
no,
just
but
like,
like he has that audience, and he has that
yeah, I
audience
suppose
because
so.
he says things. I don't know him, so I can't say that it is, but it feels disingenuous a lot of the times. When he says things to rile people up, like I feel like it is not from a place of genuine feeling. And like it's easy to look at this and be like, oh, you just didn't understand the movie. And like if that's the case, fine, you didn't understand the movie. But like if you're saying this just to say it, like Just
I
enjoy
mean,
things, man.
to me, it doesn't feel that way. That's why I'm surprised, because I'm like, well, anyone could have tweeted this. And I, because a lot of the points that he makes, I don't necessarily agree
Agree.
with them because I have a different interpretation of the movie. But I can like read what he said and be like, okay, like fair enough. I could see like one of my friends saying that, or like, oh, I didn't really get that point. So I think that's why I'm a bit confused about why it's getting so much, because I don't think he's said anything that, to me, it doesn't feel disingenuous. It just feels like he
He
maybe
just didn't get
didn't.
it.
Yeah, he didn't get it, or he just like was focused on things that I wasn't focused on. But yeah, I guess, was there anything in the film that you didn't like necessarily? Or that you like, we obviously talked about the TMZ character already. I think something that I can think of was just, and this is less of like a gripe really, but it's like I just wanted to see more of everyone, to be honest. And I
Absolutely.
just, yeah, like just wanted a bit more. For example, with Steven Yeun's character, I just wanted him maybe to be a feel a bit more connected to OJ and M a little bit more, or like for there to feel like there was a bit more like stakes there for them. Like it did feel a little bit separated to me. Like they obviously they tie into each other, but it didn't feel yeah, it didn't feel like viscerally connected to each other. It kind of just felt like, yeah, them two are like tangentially tied because he's selling him his stuff, and there's some scenes, but it didn't feel super
They could have gone
together.
into more detail
Yeah.
to explain why they're either friends or
Or the,
enemies or anything
yeah.
in between.
Yeah, and I think that would have like made him getting sucked up by the aliens even more like kind of horrifying. And I feel like it's weird that there wasn't more of that, because we know a lot more about Jupe's character than we usually would that kind of villain. Like, you know, there's a lot of time spent with him and like his psyche and like the things that have affected him. So I wish there was a bit more of that together, and of them, yeah, of those things together. And I really liked that Angel's character was a bit more so. I read that like originally his character was supposed to be a lot more goofy, and he is quite goofy already, but he does actually feel quite like involved in the movie, and that relationship felt very organic, if funny and slightly awkward at times. But so I really enjoyed that. But I yeah, I guess I wished that there was a bit more with Steven's character particularly, I guess. And I still don't know how I feel about the cinematographer. Like I did make a comment in the movie, like as we were sitting there, I was like, he died for his art, which I thought was really cool. And I did feel like that literally was like something there. But I don't know, I guess I wanted a bit more from him as well, not so much as a character, but just like tying in. I felt we spent such a short amount of time with him, but I guess again that was just because I enjoyed all of the characters so much that I just wanted to see more of them together. So it's not like a major gripe. I just, yeah, wanted a bit more.
I'm 100% with you. Like the one that stung the most, I think, is that they killed off Keith David so soon, the dad, because like that would have been a good end to explain the relationship between Steven Yeun's character and the family, because like I don't see OJ going out there being the people's person, making friends and connections all over the shop. Like it's not really his character. But, like having like a because like. OJ serves as like the locus in this movie where everything is revolving around. And he does that in this very stalwart and like kind of reserved presentation. In like, I've not really seen from Daniel Kaluuya before, which was super cool. But like, because he's so reserved and because he is the center of the film, it was like, it was hard to kind of get why we've gotten to this point. Because like, M's character is like dynamic and she's like very funny and she has like a very strong kind of like way that she pushes her way through the story. So you can kind of see like how she's like wrapping everyone else up in her storm, and like that dichotomy between the reserved and the storm is it's super interesting and it's super cool kind of seeing how their relationship is. But like Understanding like kind of how everyone else kind of came into the pot would have been super, super fun. And like having Keith David, like it's criminal that we don't get more Keith David in movie in like
I
movies.
literally was so shocked that he died so early. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was like, he literally, I don't even feel like it was in the first 10 minutes. Maybe it was 10 minutes, but it was a very, like, we saw him for a very short amount of time and then he was dead. So that was quite like, that did take me by surprise, to be fair.
We
But I
literally ended.
think, sorry, what were you gonna say?
I say
Were
we're
you gonna
like
say a
we're
pun?
no, not this time.
You had like this mischievous smile on your face. I was like, oh my God.
Not this time. I was just like in the cinema, and I was just like, oh, Keith David, bye, Keith
Oh,
David, like.
right, yeah. But at the same time, I think that for me, I guess it didn't feel too jarring because I think a lot of like the impact of his death, like we learned a lot about his character and how he's impacted their brother and sister relationship through his absence. So I think that didn't feel too like it would have been nice to see, like it would have been nice to see him with M, for example, because she obviously has some resentment to the fact that he, you know, kind of had that patriarchal kind of relationship with her where he made her a promise and then decided that actually, no, he's gonna prioritize his son instead of his daughter, even though she was just as passionate and probably was a more natural fit to actually take over the job in terms of like her having charisma and being able to be a people person, even though she waffled on the like set. If she had had that knowledge and the training of the horse, she actually would have been very like personable and would have fit in very well with the business.
She
So I
was the
think it was
perfect
super,
fit.
yeah, exactly. And so I think it was like interesting to have them explore that dynamic as brother and sister without him there, because I think it also meant that there was a lot more love between them too. Like, she doesn't blame her brother for the fact that their dad treated him differently to her. Like, that is just kind of a side effect. And so I think that made that side of the relationship so much more natural, where, you know, when he was on the ranch, like, and her dad wasn't even looking up at her, you know, he was doing his little, yeah, his thing to her, like, I see you seeing me. And I mean, he could have been like training her in secret or something, but it's fine. And you know, the fact that he named the alien blue jacket,
Denim jacket.
denim jacket, there we go. I was gonna say something completely different. I knew it was jacket, denim jacket, and that she got to tame denim jacket at the end of the film, like, again, is just hurt him. Yeah, I really love, sorry, I know we're supposed to be like in critiques, but I really, really loved that relationship and they felt like such natural brother and sister. Yeah, it was great. All of the acting was brilliant, and like I said, we need Kiki Palmer and everything. We need Daniel Kaluuya and everything. That whole cast could
100%.
be in everything.
More Steven Yeun, more Keith
Yeah,
David,
more
please.
Steven. Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, it was a stellar cast, to be honest.
Can I just say like that scene with Steven Yeun when they're having the rapture moment with the veil, that shot was so like stark and jarring and beautiful and kind of like terrifying. So good. I know we're meant, you're right, we're meant to be like talking about what we dislike, but like, oh my God, that scene has been like living in my head rent-free since we watched it. Just because of like the way the sound design was in that scene, and like the wind is howling, and like the horse is like, it's like I ain't moving for nothing. Like it's just that whole tableau was so beautiful. And like it, there's like four or five moments in that movie where like just this the static shot of the moment is like so engrossing. Like the moment when Gordy sees Steven Yeun under the table.
Yeah, oh my God.
That scene, one of my favorite like movie moments in a minute. Like
Yeah.
it was just panting, panting, just stops, and like your heart stops in that moment too,
Yeah.
because you feel
Yeah.
like you're Steven Yeun's character because of the way it's shot. It's so good.
Of
It's so
course.
good.
And it also goes back again to that, like, the way that we humanize other animals, because as soon as like he started to reach out and I was just like, oh, this is my friend, like, even though he's got blood on his hands and he just pounded everyone else on that set, and it was just like, ah!
No.
Oh my God, like, oh, it feels like he feels bad, but he doesn't, because he's an animal. He doesn't think that he's done anything wrong, because he hasn't in
No.
his like he hasn't done anything wrong. But it's like, but he just killed three humans. Like, well, he's killed two humans, more than two humans, and disfigured a little girl. But then he's coming in. Oh, it was a lot. And I feel like that is our relationship with animals, basically. Like, we just like we forget. We forget, but then at the same time, we're so quick to be like, oh, like I see human something in that. Like, I don't know. It's very, I think humans are so interesting. I say that like I'm not one. Guys, I'm actually an
If
alien from outer space. I'm gonna eat
I
you all and then just
all I'm saying is, if I
blood rain.
jellyfish out, mind your business.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
That
I'm
would be
saying.
terrifying.
I was like, this huge mouth, and I'm just like shouting puns out of
Oh my God,
it.
no. I think that would actually terrify me. I'm gonna have nightmares about that.
That would end the
That would be a scary last episode. Anyway, you just hear like horrific, just like me screaming. No one has no idea what's going on. Which is something that was also very scary. You know, when like the alien is flying overhead and you can just hear the people screaming.
Yes,
That was
it was so
also,
good.
yeah, and just the noises that the alien made in general were just very scary. And
It's
even when
like,
it was just raining down all of the like things that were not organic material and all of the blood that just came down on all of the house, and you were like, crap. I think I would have just crapped my pants. I would have crapped my pants.
I don't think people understand how fast I'd have left that branch of the country. I'd
Yeah.
be like, I'm
You would have noped out there. Yeah,
out.
you would have noped. Okay, I have one last. Since we're very bad at critiquing this film, there are plenty of valid critiques out there, but I just think I enjoyed the film so much that none of the critiques really hold that much weight to the overall feeling that I got from the film in general. And I like, you know, usually when after a few days, like when I first came out of the cinema, I was like, this is an 8, and has stayed an 8. Like usually after I think about the film a bit too much, I'm like, this is a 7, or like this is like it goes down, but I feel like it's still very solid. And I guess some of that is like my sci-fi and black people in sci-fi bias. And I feel like it spoke to me a lot. And yeah, I just generally liked it. I'm sure if you listen to some other podcasts, there are probably some critiques that we've like missed, but I just don't think they matter that much to us personally, that couldn't really bring out. But one of the last points that I want us to ask is, do you think OJ is dead or do you think he's alive?
He's alive. He's on the horse at the end.
I think that's up for debate. I hope he's alive. I don't know if he actually is alive, because I felt that it was very weird that they stayed on Kiki's face for so long. And then when he's on the horse, he's not really like, you know, they've got that sign that says like out on yonder. So loads of people are like debating on whether I personally felt I left the movie feeling like he was alive. I can see why people would say that he's dead. It would make sense why he's dead as well. But yeah, I just wanted to ask if you thought he was dead or alive.
It would have been interesting if they set up like a mirror for how his pops dies.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause he falls off the horse. Like, it's the slow, plodding walk. But just because like he came in and he was like very alert and like kind of sitting
Yes.
there and he was looking at her. I think he's alive.
But
Like
he
I
didn't move that much.
yeah, but like he's
It could
sitting
be a
but
vision.
like
Look, I'm saying this. I thought he was alive, but I'm just saying,
it
like, I like loads of
I
people, and even Levi brought that up. He was like, well, is he dead? And I was like, well, I think he's alive, but like he could also be dead. And I think also a lot of people did bring up the like throughout the movie is her just like being able to do stuff without her brother in a way that's not like her just like going completely wild, and the fact that she's able to like take the picture and like she has this whole sequence at the end is kind of like she's finally able to kind of just do things by herself. And so him dying is kind of like, you know, she doesn't have her father, she doesn't have her brother anymore, but she's independent in a way, which, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, but like I again see that point. He could be dead, but
Ram,
in my head he's alive.
has she been given the reins?
Oh my God, yes, she's been given free reign wherever she is. Yeah.
I just, we need to do more me you episodes because you punt a lot more.
I do pun, but I don't laugh as I pun. I think that's what it is. I like puns. I like them more in a like a chuckle way, you know? I like to just not react, if
What
that's
I'm doing, like this is my podcast in the podcast, is I'm slowly breaking you and Levi down to make more puns.
I don't
And
think Levi would make many puns.
Levi makes puns, but like I'm just proud every time you guys one slips out and I'm like, yes, good,
I used to be a pun
yes.
maker. I don't pun make anymore. But also, I feel like I can't really top you, so therefore, I'm
It's not
like,
topping. We just we elevate.
sounds like a cult. Anyway, sounds
Oh
like
my
you're trying to
God.
make a pun cult.
Shall
I
we
will
wrap
not
up?
be involved. No. Yes, we can wrap up. Yeah, I feel like we generally had a. Oh, I wanted to throw in this fun fact. So, I was watching the Variety video with Kiki Palmer, Steven Yeun, Daniel Kaluuya, and well, I forgot it. Brandon, Priya. I keep avoiding saying his last name because
Perea?
I miss my
I think it's
Pareo.
Perea,
Yeah,
right?
yeah. And they were like reading out theory videos, which is really funny to watch after you've watched the movie because you know like the, some of the theories are wild, but would make very interesting films. And so a lot of people are like, "Oh, Nope stands for like not of planet Earth," and Kiki was like, which is a lot of things that like people were saying because obviously from the very beginning,
Yeah.
you know, there was an extraterrestrial feel, but that was not on purpose apparently. So Jordan
Oh,
Peele
that
did
was like
not.
an
Yeah, that
ad
was
lib.
just, yeah, no, that just like happened to be, yeah, it's a coincidence basically. And I'm like, this makes me happy because I still love the fact that sometimes people are like, yeah, this means this, and then the guy who made the film or like the woman who made the film, whatever, are just like, yeah, that's what I meant. Yep, I am so
Totally.
smart. Yeah. So I love that that's still happening. And the last comment that I wanted to make before we give a score is I really appreciated it. Obviously there were like shots that are in the film and stuff, but when you after you've watched the film and then when you look at the trailer, it's very not misleading necessarily, but like a lot of the things that you think it would be about based on the trailer are not actually the case in the film, which is really nice because as you know these days trailers just tend to give away the entire plot of the movie. But I liked that this kind of was almost a return to form, not quite like old 90s trailers where literally you have no idea what's going on, it's just like random shots and random lines and you're like but it was a lot more like mysterious and more kind of alluding to and kind of like just creating that buzz that I think trailers are supposed to create, where you're like, oh my God, I wonder what this could be about. And you start theorizing about stuff. But when you get into the cinema, you still get to have that element of surprise. And like, yeah, so I really appreciate that.
I still kind of like missed like the like some of those like old school like 90s trailers felt like the people who were making the trailer didn't know what the film was.
Yeah, no, that's what I
And
love. They felt so disjointed and so janky. And they would just have title cards with like questions that like
yeah.
it's just like, are you re like I don't like just the
So
most right.
dramatic.
They felt more like a hype man, you know, like a hype man that like literally it's like someone's friend who just got thrown onto the stage to introduce this band that they've never actually listened to, but they've just like been hanging around with. And so they just got to get the crowd hyped up, but they have no idea what's actually they got the vibe of what might happen, but they don't know any of the songs.
Are
They're just
you
there
ready
to
for music?
yeah, that's literally what it felt like. So I really missed that. I think we should return to that. It should just be
100%.
vibe. Vibes
100%.
as a trailer. But yeah, what would you give this score out of?
8.5. I was like a 9 when I came out the cinema, but like this is a solid 8.5.
I think I'm a bit lower. I think I'm at 8. I don't know why. I just feel solid 8. And I feel like I already know what you're gonna say, but how would you rank this against Jordan Peele's films so far?
Get out this, then us.
Yep. I am the same way. I know a lot of people love us, but I just think it was a bit nonsensical at times.
But
So,
not us.
yeah, but not us exactly. So you could count us out. I nearly got all of the like get us out. But anyway, yeah. But yeah, that is an episode. Definitely check out the film. I think, I'm not really a fan of directors like that, apart from Ryan Coogler, because I love him. He is the second love of my life after Kiki Palmer. But yeah, I think seeing Jordan Peele's career unfold is very interesting. And of course, it's very inspiring to have like another Black director out there, because there's not really that many that have a platform the way that he does and has been receiving so much like critical acclaim and like money in terms of box office numbers of like, this is a blockbuster, loads of people are flocking to the cinema to see this. So yeah, I can't wait to see what he has next. So what are you up to, Hassan?
I finished the Cult of the Lamb.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna ask you about that actually, because I remembered that that had come out and swiftly forgot. How was it? How was it?
I loved it. I loved
Of
every second of
course.
it. It is
Oh,
in my games of the year. Like,
lovely.
unironically, not even just because, like, I make
No.
cults in games where I shouldn't. It's legitimately a fantastic game. A lot more robust in the outside the dungeon crawling stuff than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be one of those games where the main crux would be going into the dungeons, raiding the dungeons, fighting the bosses, but the actual cult mechanics and the building and the farming and all that kind of stuff is like really robust, and there's like a lot you can do there, and a lot of like kind of customizations you can do to make your little town like cooler. I
More
love
color
this
palette.
game, and I probably will replay it soon. I'm going to do a review of it of it this week, so check out our Twitter; it'll be up on there. Apart from that, I've been watching Sandman, and a lot of terrible movies.
Lovely. We haven't started Sandman yet because life has been so busy, but hopefully I've got some time off soon, so hopefully we shall get around to that. I'm really hoping to like savor it because I really love Neil Gaiman, so I don't want to binge it in one go. I kind of just want to watch it like an episode at a time, but who knows, like sometimes when you just get so into things like you just end up binging it all.
I'm halfway through it, and trust me, it's good.
Yeah, no, I trust. I haven't seen any Neil Gaiman adaptations that have been bad, and I feel like part of it is because he does actually get very involved in. What have I been up to? Not watching Sandman yet, but we did finish Umbrella Academy the other day.
I've not touched it yet. I need
We
to.
need to get on that, yes. And I finished God of War, but I'm trying to platinum it at the moment. But it's been quite busy few days, so I haven't really had a chance to go back to it. So I've just been in my little Stardew Valley bubble, playing it quite obsessively because I need some cozy game time. I watched Killing Eve recently, which you should check out because I don't know what I thought the series was gonna be, but it was not that. It's very good. You can definitely tell it's by that Phoebe Waller-Bridge has her prints on it. Because it's funny in ways that you didn't think it was going to be funny, but also quite like thrilling at the same time. So really enjoyed that. What else have I been up to? Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Yeah, I feel like next week is going to be my gaming watching time. So I'm gonna try and enjoy that as much as I can before I have to go back to work. But yeah. That
Yeah.
is an episode.
Do you want to reel off the socials, or should
I think you should, since I did the intro.
I?
Balance, equilibrium. It's weird not having Levi here because suddenly it's like 50-50.
We have too much power.
Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. You can find us at The Nerd Alternative with the E on Instagram and on Twitter, on Reddit. You can find us at The Nerd Alternative without the E on Twitter. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, Good Pods, and anywhere else that you can listen to pods. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.